Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everything you see, everything you love, everything you cheer for, everything you watch about the NBA, including the Toronto Raptors, a global presence for the league, a country that has shared its NBA with other continents, with other nations. Really, it's a worldwide phenomenon. All of that is credit to David Stern and his vision. And yes, the players play, they score, they dazzle, they entertain, they put in the work. David Stern knew how to take that talent, market it brilliantly, put it on an international stage with that global vision. He knew how to expect the best from the people around him, owners and players, coaches too, because he gave the best of himself. And it all started with his love for the game. David Stern was a fan first, and he turned that into a 30-year career as one of the greatest commissioners in the history of sports. But the NBA commissioner emeritus, 30-year boss, 30-year CEO of the league, passed away on New Year's Day. Sad to hear about David Stern's death. He had that brain hemorrhage 3 weeks ago. And now he's gone at 77 years old. Always hits me when I see ages in the 70s because my mom is just a few years younger than David Stern. It wasn't that long ago that he was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. So he had his day. He was honored. His legacy is firmly scripted as well as appreciated. And the tributes are pouring in all over the world of basketball, as you can imagine, even coming from players who didn't know him personally and didn't play for him or under his tenure specifically. And yet, as LeBron James has said, as many others have said, today's NBA is a tribute, is a credit to David Stern. It wouldn't be what it is without his vision, without his strategies, without his commitment and his determination and his faith in what could be. And so the league is mourning his loss on this Thursday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you're just joining us for the first time in the new year, well, happy new year to you. I know a lot of people are out of their regular routines on New Year's Day. So here we are, January 2nd. Oh, it's back to the grind. But it's a fresh start, a clean slate. I think we appreciate that, many of us, about turning the page and turning the calendar, if people still use that calendars. I actually saw my favorite meteorologist from the Weather Channel, Jim Cantore. He put a poll out on Wednesday, New Year's Day. Do you still hang a calendar in your home anywhere? Now, for a younger generation, for, let's say, Gen Z, I don't know about millennials. Millennials is a broad range. Most, though, young people will use the calendar on their phone exclusively. My mom likes to give me planners, and I enjoy doodling and drawing and using various colors in my planner. I think it's fun. It also helps me when I go back to look at my taxes and to figure out what I was doing on specific days and why I drove here, blah, blah, blah. But I don't still hang a calendar, though I do enjoy having a planner. And actually, my nieces do too, and they're definitely they're not old enough to be jaded or to remember hanging calendars, but they enjoy planners too. I thought that was kind of a fun question. And I don't remember seeing the final results of the poll, but Jim Cantore's poll had at least, I think early on when it had a first few hundred votes, there were probably 60-something percent of people who said they still hang calendars. So, you know, there's that. Who knows if that continues into 2020. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're talking about the NFL postseason. It is nearly upon us, which always signals something special for me because it was what we talked about the first month that we launched as a network, a baby network in January of 2013. So this is the start of year number 8 for us here on After Hours, but also year number 8 on the network. And there are some changes. The DA show will be moving into morning drive Eastern time. And so DA and Sean Marash will follow us here on CBS Sports Radio at the top of the next hour. And we've got Pat McAfee joining the lineup as well. Jim Rome will stay in his regular spot. Tiki and Tierney, they will continue to anchor afternoon drive on the East Coast, lunchtime on the West Coast, and then Zach Gelb joining us for the 6 to 10 Eastern time spot. Scott Farrell and I staying in the same place. We are the foundation. I don't know if we are or not. I just know that I enjoy the time slot, and I don't even know if Scott would ever consider moving. So we're staying where we are. We like it. And like I said, I remember starting out the network January 2013 and just being so thankful that the playoffs were on tap because instantly you had an audience. Sports radio, sports TV, sports programming of any kind gets a major boost during the NFL season and specifically during the playoffs. And so here we are again, start of year number 8. Congratulations to all my fellow hosts and co-workers, producers, and peeps behind the scenes. It's an accomplishment to get to year number 8. David Stern had 30 years as the commissioner of the NBA. I can't even imagine being in one place in one job for 30 years. But he was the commissioner from 1984 to 2014. Do you know he took over as commissioner the year that Michael Jordan entered the league? I actually didn't know that until I was reading about David Stern and watching some of the tributes on Wednesday. When he entered the league, it had a bad image, a bad reputation. It wasn't the global phenomenon that it is today, but he had a vision. And you know what really changed it? Magic and Bird and their rivalry and their ability to bring in new fans, that was increasing the popularity of the league. But when the Olympics opened up for professionals to play basketball on their global stage, and David Stern helped to put together the dream team for the 92 Olympics, it changed everything. It opened up doors and created opportunities that were not there before. And I thought it was really cool that Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is, of course, the reigning NBA MVP, took time after the Bucks win on Wednesday to talk about the legacy of David Stern, even though for him, we're talking about, you know, a few years removed and a different era.
He means so much to the game. He made this game global. He gave to guys like me, Luka, Toni Kukoc, who can go on and on, Pau Gasol, all these international players. He gave us a chance, you know, and, you know, the game will miss him. You know, you cannot talk about the NBA without talking about David Stern. So definitely going to miss him.
Obviously it's bittersweet. You know, the bitter part of it is that we lost a great visionary. I think him and Dr. James Naismith is two of the most important people for the game of basketball. Obviously, Dr. Naismith, because he created the game. And then David, his vision to make this game global. Don't know how many people believed in that with him or thought it was something that couldn't be done. But he made this game global, where this game is watched in over 200 countries, 250 countries over the world. We got, you just look at the collective group of players. You know, you got the Giannis and the Dirks and the Manus and the Lucas now, and so on. And it's, I think it's, you got to give him so much credit because of that, because he's just seen the game being so much greater than just in the States domestically. So, my IG post, obviously, for me personally, it was a dream come true to step up on that stage and shake David's hand. Knowing where I come from, and then just gaining a relationship over the course of my career with him. That's great, and my prayers and condolences goes to his family.
The comments of LeBron James particularly poignant and also really underscores the impact and the legacy of David Stern. Think about the number of NBA players that played in the league, that passed through the league, that either made a major impact that transcend their sport, or they didn't. They were more role players, whatever the case. David Stern was an advocate for players. He believed in them, recognized the potential, but wanted them to have a piece of the pie. And I've seen that from so many people, from former players, current players, as we've just heard. He wasn't just about the money grab for the owners. He was about raising the revenue of the entire league and everybody getting a piece of the pie. You know, we hear this sometimes from NFL players. They're jealous of NBA players because of how much of the revenue they share, because their contracts are fully guaranteed, because the salary cap just keeps going up, 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 up. Under David Stern, his 30 years as the commissioner, TV revenue increased from $10 million a year to $900 million annually. And so it's neat to hear from players of various eras, quote unquote. On CBS Sports HQ, Rip Hamilton, who started in the NBA in 1999 and retired in 2013, he remembers David Stern.
When you look at what he's done since he took over the lead in 1984, he understood that, you know, in order for him to be able to take the game where he's seen the game going, he needed the players. And you can see that with just his relationships that he had with guys like Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, guys that really, you know, when the NBA was still in limbo and still trying to figure it out, he needed the players to really take the game to a whole new other level. And I think the players, the former players and the players that played during my generation always respected him, because we always knew he had the best interest, not just from the owners. A lot of people think that, okay, you know what, he was just had the best interest for the owners. But he was always in conversation with the players and how we can better the lead, how we can expand the lead. And he always had our back. So it's a big-time loss.
Leadership. All of those things that Rip Hamilton and LeBron James and Giannis talk about. It's leadership. It's seeing what others can't see. It's having a strategy and a plan and a vision that others might lack. But believing in that. Having faith in what can be and finding a way to make it happen. And I think it's worth mentioning as well, maybe one of his greatest accomplishments, certainly one that he was proud of, was grooming Adam Silver to take over as commissioner when he stepped down. Adam Silver himself releasing a statement and just talking about how for 22 years, he got a chance to watch David Stern in action, that he was a mentor and a friend. And that he learned what he needed to know to run the league from David Stern. Preparation, attention to detail, and hard work. David Stern had those fundamentals, according to Adam Silver, but he was also a kid who fell in love with basketball. And when he took over, he was watching the Magic and Larry phenomenon and the way that it was changing the NBA. A little bit from his Hall of Fame speech when we return.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Don Larson remembered for that one incredible moment on the World Series stage 1956. He actually had a really poor performance in game two of the series for the Yankees against the Dodgers. And he says in his autobiography years later that he was really surprised when the manager of the Yankees, Casey Stengel, actually told him he would start game five. He says, I knew I had to do better than the last time. He actually got knocked out in the second inning of game two of that World Series, but got the ball in game five and made a memory that's never been duplicated, never been replicated. A perfect game in a World Series, and he was the series MVP. A two-time World Series champion, but not a guy that was headed for the Hall of Fame. 81 and 91 in his career. He never won more than 11 games in a season, which I think is phenomenal. But that shows what can happen on any given day in sports, in life. Put me in, coach. Give me the ball, coach. Let me have the ball, Skip. I mean, we focus on sports, so it's easy to put it in that context. How often do we see players that we consider journeymen or role players produce some of the greatest moments and feats, unlikeliest opportunities, but that's what sports is all about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Don Larson passing away from cancer, 90 years old, though. He had been in hospice care in Idaho. You ever wonder if there'll be one moment of your own life that people will look back on? Most of us won't have one moment that stands out and is so memorable for so many people. But that's what people say about Don Larson, those who didn't know him personally, and maybe even some who did. I once heard, I think it was at a conference, and it was this question that was posed to us by the guest speaker. What do you want people to remember you for? Because no matter if, and he actually said LeBron James, no matter if you are LeBron James, once you're retired and you're no longer in the spotlight, your life, your career will be summed up in three lines. I mean, it's true. Time marches on. And at some point, there will be people who didn't see LeBron James play. They may get asked about him, or they may ask about him, and essentially his career will be summed up in a few lines. But man, if you're Don Larson and your career is summed up as the only pitcher ever to throw a perfect game in the World Series, you might be okay with that, plus those two World Series rings. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There's so much to say about David Stern, and a lot of it you will hear on this Thursday in the wake of his passing. But I thought it was kind of cool to hear him describe himself as a fan at his Hall of Fame induction. And he came in the mid-80s, 84, when it was Bird and it was Magic and it was the Celtics and it was the Lakers. And that rivalry and those two superstars were responsible for generating more interest. And it was the perfect time for Stern then to come in as commissioner.
You know, Larry Bird, he was grouchy too as a rookie, but he loves this game, and he tells us that if you're a great player, there's a place for you in our league as an investor, as a coach, as a general manager, and as a leader. And together with Magic, Larry and Magic, they're forever interwoven. They even did, you know, one of our first music videos together. It was, it's kind of interesting, right? I'm gonna do it. It was incredible, and to me, he's here representing what it was to have greatness, what it was to have a competition. I thought when I became commissioner, it was a natural thing that you did. You went from L.A. to Boston and back to L.A. again, and that's what June was. It wasn't always to be thus, but it was kind of fun while it lasted.
No, it wasn't always to be thus, because a guy named Michael Jordan got into the NBA the same year that David Stern took over as commissioner. But I like that anecdote. That's fun. As someone who really does look back on Magic and Bird and the 80s NBA is the reason why I'm in this business. David Stern's impact, though I didn't know it at the time, it's also really been a major one and a major influence in my own life. And he is responsible for the NBA today as we know it, but he also made it a game that was so highly entertaining that it was appointment television. The interviews that I've heard him do, and both right toward the end of his tenure, but also my previous network, he had such great humor, smile. He would challenge you. He wasn't a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. He could be a little feisty at times, but he had a really high standard for himself and others. All right, we're going to transition to football as we head through these final few minutes of our second show of 2020, but the start of year 8 for me here at CBS Sports Radio. It's really cool to see all of your tweets, your messages. Some of you who've been listening since the beginning, since the network launched in January of 2013. It's kind of fun. Kind of fun to be one of the originals. This is definitely the longest that I've ever held one job to. But also the best career move I ever made to accept the offer to join this baby network, CBS Sports Radio. So it's kind of fun to see it morph into something new as we start 2020. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Herbert, clinch to the right, hand it off to Rudell, kept it. Going to try to go outside, straight arm, 25, 20, foot race, 10. Are you kidding me? Justin Herbert has scored!
And that should be a flag.
And it is a flag, a late hit after the score. Justin Herbert with a burst of speed to the right.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was quite a dramatic finish to the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin, Oregon, down to the wire. Justin Herbert, the Oregon quarterback, also had 3 rushing touchdowns, and that one happening in the waning seconds, which is all you could ask for from a football game, right? And when it comes to the Rose Bowl, it really doesn't need a whole lot of dressing up. It's the Rose Bowl in and of itself, the granddaddy of them all, the pomp, the circumstance. It's a New Year's Day staple, and people tune in simply because of the tradition and also the Rose Bowl parade. And if you've never been to the Rose Bowl, I actually haven't been there for a game, but I've been to the Rose Bowl to walk around and see it and take pictures. A gorgeous setting in Pasadena. And so I would love to be there for an actual game, regardless of the teams that were playing. But this was a show. So people show up to the Rose Bowl because of what it is and what it's always been. But this time it was a game worthy of the setting as well as the stage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jerry Allen with the call on IMG from Learfield. And Herbert had a 30-yard run. So it was one play, one snap, 30 yards. And with a couple of minutes left on the clock, a few minutes left on the clock, he put the Ducks in front. And then it was kind of fun to see the tension and to watch it play out to the very end with Wisconsin hoping to get another opportunity. But the Oregon Ducks holding up and then getting that those last few yards, the last couple first downs they needed to keep the ball away from Wisconsin. Because my dad's whole side of the family is Wisconsin born, there were family emails. We have a family email chain. There were family emails flying back and forth about the Badgers, and my aunt and my uncles and my dad had reserved their entire New Year's Day so that they could focus in on the Badgers in the Rose Bowl. So it was a big deal for them, and I know it certainly is for Badgers Nation, but for the Ducks as well, who finish up 12-2. So there's some drama on your New Year's Day if you're into college football and the Rose Bowl and some of the other bowls, too. Alabama ending its college football season not where it wants to be, not the college football championship. It's first time for Alabama since the college football championship was instituted, in which you didn't have the Tide playing for the title, or playing as part of the college football championship. But the Alabama Crimson Tide still have not only this decision from Tua Tagovailoa that they await, which will come in the next few days. He plans to make his announcement about whether or not he's going to declare for the NFL or remain in school. But also, you know, this idea of not feeling like the season is a failure simply because you didn't get to the championship. And certainly for Alabama, it's a lot like the New England Patriots, right, or the New York Yankees, or I mean, you could go back to any longtime established programs and teams where the standard is to win a title, and anything else, anything less, anything that falls short of that, well, it's not enough. It's a failure. And I could see that standard that was created by the Alabama success. You could compare it to Tiger Woods in his heyday. If he didn't win a tournament, well, then it felt like it was a failure. I mean, that's a strong word, but you get it. He's set the bar that high. And so for Alabama, it's not a bad thing to have that kind of a standard and those kinds of lofty expectations. But you also don't want to throw out the entire season because it's a New Year's Day bowl and not the college football playoff. Not to mention, if they do move forward without Tua, well, then you need to get this next group ready and to have them be on this stage on New Year's Day and perform the way they did in the Citrus Bowl. Mac Jones, the quarterback, the next quarterback, next man up. And he had some time during the SEC run, and he was primed to be in the spot, and he's performed well. But it could certainly mean an entire turning of the page for Bama. So it'll be interesting to see what Tua decides and what that means for Nick Saban and for the rest of the Crimson Tide. But a little bit different, a shift in college football this year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO, with some great news for the new year. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I just got to tell you how much I enjoyed our last show and all of the various submissions, suggestions for top sports story of the decade and for top sports moments of the decade. My family even really got into it, and they're not big sports fans. So that was fun. And your tweets and your Facebook posts continued all day on Wednesday. And now here we are, focus forward on the next decade, though some people yelled at me on social media. Chris, how did you explain it to me? I love that Chris makes it so uncomplicated. But people were yelling at me, like you can on social media, because it's not the start of a new decade, according to them. And I actually heard this report on CBS News that said, depending upon how you count the decades, this may or may not be the start of a new decade for you. So that was on New Year's Eve. It was kind of funny to hear that on CBS News. But Chris had a very simple way of saying we're turning the page to a new decade.
The last decade had a one, and this one has a two. And again, to have a social media account, there is not an IQ qualifier.
You didn't have to say that part.
Anyone can have a social media account. I'm not singling out anybody. This is a broad stroke statement. Anyone can have one.
It's like what I used to say when I was younger and I was kind of snarky. I mean, I guess this can be kind of snarky, but you have to have a license to own a dog in many places, but you don't have to have a license to have a baby. So, yeah, there are some things where intelligence and IQ is not part of the equation. So the top sports stories of the decade, it was fun to sort through and to look back a little bit. But now moving forward, I meant to do this last night and didn't have a chance. So I want to ask you, and I know we have a brand new audience this morning, but I want to ask you guys to weigh in on your top sports stories of the decade, because you're different ages. We all come from kind of different, I wouldn't say backgrounds, but different perspectives when we're looking at the sports through our various lenses. So my top sports story of the decade was American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown, but I assume that's not the same for Chris. And Brian is actually with us. Dave is out all week. So what do you guys think?
So if LeBron James is ever going to surpass Michael Jordan as the greatest basketball player of all time, he needs to win a couple more titles. And that legacy down in Miami would not have been the same, and his return home to Cleveland would not have been the same without my top moment of the last decade.
Should the Spurs foul? Should Miami go for the three right away? Just attack the basket. James catches, puts up the three. Won't go. Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Ray Allen. Ray Allen, remember that? That was game six, right? Oh my gosh, Miami and San Antonio gave us some great NBA finals. And that was, of course, going back to the beginning, also the beginning of our tenure here at CBS Sports Radio. Awesome. Yeah, he made his decision to take his talents to South Beach in 2010 and then went to four straight NBA finals with the Heat, won two rings, had a nice little rivalry back and forth there with the Spurs, and then decided to go back to Cleveland. But yeah, Chris makes a great point as you hear that incredible moment on ABC, that this was a piece of the pie, a piece of the puzzle that was critical. Without that, the legacy is completely different, which is why we should always give credit to the teams and not just the individuals. Brian, what about you?
As we all know, I am super young, especially at one of the youngest
people. All know, are you just assuming that everyone out there knows who you are?
When you hear my voice, you could certainly tell. When the decade began, I was 13 years old. So I was kind of entering my primitive sports interest in my life. And I have to go back to the beginning of the decade to what I believe is the greatest World Series of all time, but one of the greatest moments in World Series history.
Braves hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
I find that to be one of the most incredible moments, comebacks, that sporting event that I've ever seen in my life, and it might be the greatest one I ever see for the rest of my life.
Whoa! Setting the bar high, man.
That World Series was so dramatic, so incredible.
Well, tell people.
The Cardinals-Rangers World Series, mm-hmm. where the Cardinals were down to their final strike. And remember, the Texas Rangers are a franchise that has never won a World Series. Nolan Ryan was in charge of them at the time, who played for them and tried to win them a World Series, never got them to win a World Series, was sitting in the stands, and the camera kept focusing on him in the ninth inning. And they were down to their final strike. And prior to that,
as an early teenager?
Alan Craig hits a ball to the wall that should have been easily caught, that was not caught. And it goes off the wall. He hits a bases-clearing triple. David Fries hits the walk-off. Joe Buck signifies his late father's call.
Yes.
Jack Buck in the "We will see you tomorrow night." And the Cardinals go on to win the World Series. I mean, what an incredible moment. I'm convinced I will not see a better World Series than that.
Oh, come on. Maybe leave
lifetime.
A little bit of room there for...
I'm not leaving any room. I think it was the greatest World Series of all time.
I remember it as the David Fries World Series.
It was incredible.
Certainly for the Cardinals. I remember exactly where I was, what position I was on my couch when that happened.
That's one of those for me, the exact same one that you brought up last night. I think there's certain moments in your lifetime in sports where... you can literally put yourself back what seat you were in, what clothing you were wearing.
Feel the emotions.
That is me. And again, just to explain, I was 14 years old when that happened. Like, that was my...
Just wait till you get to be my age and you can't even remember the moment.
To me, that's primitive sports interest. That's primitive getting into sports. And to see that World Series at that time, iconic.
Good. Awesome. Thanks, guys. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We hope that we will see more of those iconic moments to start this new decade, however you may count. But we certainly have some big games coming up this weekend. And a lot of you are weighing in on our Facebook page or on Twitter and letting us know which game you're most looking forward to. Now, we'll do a little more preview. We'll take some calls about the NFL playoffs as we get to the last show of the work week. But it's kind of fun to look ahead to football on Saturday. I actually have to do a basketball game on TV that tips 2.5 hours before the first playoff game. And so if all goes well... generally, I would love overtime in any game that I call. But if all goes well and there's no overtime on Saturday, I'll be in my car, listen to pregame for the half-hour drive home, and then boom, walk in the door. Oh, and guess what? You walk in the door, game starting, and the dog is staring at you. Mom, it's time to go for a walk. Oh, yeah, that's going to be great. That's the thing about having a dog who needs to walk and loves to walk. She does not care what football games are on TV or what moments are taking place. She just wants to take her walk. But that's the beauty of a DVR. So I might be a few minutes behind for the first half. What is the game you're most looking forward to? Adam on Facebook says Saints Vikings ... in all capital letters. Revenge! ! Randy on Facebook, the Titans at the Patriots. Patriots Titanic moment? This is a weekend that's got a lot of cool storylines to it. And I like the fact that we've got some matchups we haven't seen in a while. Now, we have some that we're used to and that we've seen before in recent playoffs, but others that are kind of fun. And for Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, or to make his playoff debut with the Titans when he missed out being injured a few years ago with the Dolphins, is really neat for him. Also, in the NFL, mentioned we're waiting on the announcement from Tua Tagovailoa about whether or not he will enter the NFL draft. That's coming up in the next few days. But you know what else we're waiting for in the next couple of days? The announcement about the future of Jason Garrett in Dallas. So if you're wondering why I haven't said anything about it, well, that's why, because there's no news. But if you follow Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, you may have seen his series of tweets. You know, he credits sources about some of the details and why it's taking so long in Dallas. And he really looks back to an extended relationship between Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett. That it's not just about the fact that this head coach has been in place for 10 years and kind of, you know, disappointing end, and that there's no way to go here. They've got to make a change. It's more about the fact that Jerry Jones has invested so much into Jason Garrett that he's very fond of him personally, but also has decades invested in him as a quarterback, as a guy that they used to bring into meetings to kind of groom him for a position of leadership with the franchise. They recognize the potential with Jason Garrett going way back. And so there's just a long history there, a long relationship. I have heard some talk, some speculation that they're now trying to find a spot for him in the front office so that he wouldn't be completely dispatched from the organization, but they wouldn't renew his contract as head coach. Instead, he would move into a position in the front office. So we await. They have a meeting on Thursday. Maybe we'll have news for tonight's show. Have a great day. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.